Peter, how you doing? Okay, we have a roster move to announce. Anthony Levine, who sustained a season-ending shoulder injury, will go on to IR, and we will actually move David Reed up to the active 53-man roster in that spot. So we'll be doing that at 4 o'clock today. As far as the game goes, pretty much saw it on tape the way we saw it last night, I think. You know, the thing that jumped out at me was the number of game-changing plays. I mean, we're all going to talk about the 4th and 29. It's going to go down in history. And it's just a remarkable play. You know, I said last night it's the greatest play I've ever seen or been a part of. And it was 11 guys who made the play happen. One guy had a real big role in it. You know, it was a sensational play by Ray Rice. Anquan Boldin came back and had as good a football block, legal football block, as physical of a block as you'll ever see in football. And that's Anquan Boldin. You know, that's who he is. And that made the play happen. Offensive line with protection, Joe obviously with the throw, the whole thing. But and that kind of epitomized the whole game, you know. Defensively, we played pretty well throughout, but as the game went along, we got better on defense. We tackled better. We defended better. We pressured better, but we pressured pretty well throughout the whole game. We are improving on defense, and we improved throughout the course of the game. Special teams was solid. And then offensively, you know, we really struggled early, you know. We did not start fast, but we finished fast, and that was the difference in the game. So it was good to see the ability to struggle against a defense that was playing really well. We weren't clicking. We weren't quite making plays. We were close. We were missing some things there. But then to keep fighting, keep battling, for a football team to stay together on the sideline, to have faith in one another, never get down on one another, keep trying to make a play to help the other side get going, all three phases. To me, that's what it's all about. And to see it, kind of come together in a victory like that on the road against a very good team is just, that's what it's all about.
You said after the game yesterday, he was building something special. What about this team that says that to you?
Well, you know, I think the way they handle adversity, Joe. You know, it's the way they deal with adversity. To me, it didn't begin, but, you know, we always talk about beginnings and starting points, and probably the starting point for that idea was the AFC Championship game last year and the way our team was in the locker room. And that had started long before that moment, too, you know, but where the team was at that point to handle that adversity. And then, you know, to let that brew for the whole off season and through training camp and to build on that and then to build on the adversity that we faced throughout the season and to become better through all of that, you know, that's kind of what I'm talking about.
Did Danelle Ellerbe come out okay? And is there another update on Ed Dixon? You said he had a sprained knee last night.
Right. Ed has a bruised knee, sprained knee. It's nothing major in terms of ligament damage or anything like that. He'll have a chance to get back this week. It just depends on how it goes and how well it heals. Danelle Ellerbe has a kind of a foot ankle thing. Got a little swelling in there. He'll have a chance to get back this week, too, and we'll just have to see how it goes. We'll be probably, you know, the practice for those two guys will be very limited this week, and we'll try to get him to the game on Sunday.
Coach, you had Ray Lewis on the sidelines yesterday. There was a report that he's coming back before the end of the season. You told the CBS crew as such, and there were multiple reports today. Is that accurate?
I think he will. You know, that's just that's a best guess. He's working hard to do that. We'll see. I think the 6 weeks might be up. Is it this week? So could he practice this week?
I think he's eligible to practice beginning like on Thursday.
Okay. So there's a timing to all that, and we'll know then. You know, we'll have to test it and see if it can hold up. Really don't know where it's at right now. Ray has been in rehab mode, so he hasn't been here from a football standpoint in terms of us seeing any of that yet. But just talking to Ray, it sounds like things have gone well. There have been no setbacks, so there's a possibility.
That he could practice this week or just be?
Well, whatever the rules are, I'd say there's a possibility he could practice as soon as the rules allow him to practice. And we'll have an update for you on that. I just don't know that off the top of my head.
What do you say to the fans who seem to be, with each week, sort of discouraged with these unconventional wins that you guys keep putting together?
Are they? I'm not aware of that. I don't get those calls. You guys get those calls, fortunately.
Talked about the whole idea of the third and long situation. I know it's been an issue all season and how that plays into the difficulties you have on the road.
Well, we were 50% on third down yesterday when you take it as a whole. You know, in the first half, the first three quarters, we might have been around 20, 25% maybe, I think. I'm not sure exactly. It was in the neighborhood. So the fact that I think we made improvement on third downs. Third down has been an area of concern for us. You know, that's been something that we've really spent a lot of time on, you know, really all throughout the year, but really recently we've really worked hard at third down. And obviously we'd rather be in third and three, four, five, 1-2. You know, we didn't get a third and one, and we had a fourth and one. So, you know, I guess it goes both ways. And yet we're converting some third and longs, you know, which is a credit to Joe, the receivers, the pass protection. So sometimes you just got to do whatever it takes, you know, and I think our guys have found a way to do that. Kind of going back to your question a little bit, Drew, it's just the reality of football. You know, you kind of deal with what you're faced with, and that's what we're trying to do as a team. You know, an offense on third down is a good example of that. So, you know, whatever third down we get, we want to convert it, but we sure as heck want to make them as manageable as we can, and we'll just keep fighting to do that.
About the incremental progress the defense has made. I mean, you go back several weeks to when Terrell Suggs came back. I think there was a feeling of some urgency getting Terrell back because the running game was struggling and you lost the players. It seems like there has been fairly steady progress. Can you address that?
I'd agree with that. You know, it's probably worth looking at the numbers. I haven't really looked at those numbers to say it's a – you got to –
November, the Ravens have given up the fewest points in the NFL for the month of November.
Okay. That's pretty good. Congratulations to those guys. I'd say congratulations. I think the players and coaches have done a great job. And I'd start with Dean Pease and the coaches on defense. You know, we're committed to fundamental football. That's what we're committed to. And we have a great scheme package. You know, we do some really, really great things. And I think they do a good job every week of adjusting. We put some packages together that have put guys in position to do the things they do best. But that's really, to me, that's peripheral to the fact that we're attacking the line of scrimmage better. We're taking on blocks better. We're tackling much better. We're underneath coverage is much more disciplined. And the eyes in the back end is getting better and better every week. So we're just playing better football. And that, you know, goes, yes, we've got some guys healthy and those kind of things, but we've also gotten some other guys hurt. So it's just a group of guys, players and coaches, I think, they're working really hard to improve. And then you face another challenge this week. It's going to be a huge challenge. So that's football.
Just to follow up real quick, I guess where I'm going here is because we were talking about Ray Lewis, and the first thing that popped in my mind when I heard these reports was that why rush Ray Lewis when things are – progressing the way they are. It might have been more urgency with Suggs than there might be with Ray.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it'd be great to get Ray Lewis back. So, hey, all of our guys would welcome Ray back with open arms, you know, if and when that happens. But in the meantime, it's just Ray is part of our defense, you know, just like Terrell Suggs is part of our defense. So the whole thing is coming together, hopefully, better every week. And we could stumble at any time in this league. But adding a great player into the mix is only going to make us better.
John, you talked about the fourth and one in the third quarter. Was there something, you know, that made you decide at that point in time it was worth the gamble to go for it? And then did Joe check out of that run to the right, or was it a design run to the right?
Well, I wouldn't say checked out of it. The thing that made me want to go for it was I thought we'd get it. You know, I felt like we knew we had to kick a field goal, and we knew we had to score a touchdown. You know, that we knew we needed, you know, two scores if a field goal was going to be a part of it, and we knew that that was going to be the case. So if it had been more than fourth and, you know, a foot, and it was really 6 inches, I probably would have kicked the field goal right there to get the one score under our belt. The fact that it was 6 inches, you know, I think we all felt real strongly that we were going to get that done. And, you know, my just personal philosophy as a coach is you give your guys a chance to make plays. They won't always make the play, but you can't run scared, you know. And I trust our players. And I think most of the time, the vast majority of the time, our guys will come through and make those plays. And that's pretty good evidence when you look at the rest of the game. Okay, so I'll continue to trust our guys, and you know, there's certain options that we have. We've grown our package to where, you know, Joe does a great job at the line of scrimmage, getting us in and out of plays, adjusting the protections, changing the routes, making those decisions at the line of scrimmage, and you know, defenses are back and forth and challenging all that kind of stuff. And you know, we made a decision. He had certain options in there, and he made a decision to go with that play because it was a called play within the choices that he had. And they did a great job of moving a guy and beating us on the backside and defending it. There were other options he had there. Sure, he could have gone with them, but, you know, you can second-guess that all day long. I think it's part of our offense, and it's what we want to continue to be. You know, we're not going to – we call and run plenty of stuff. But you can't just be a call and run at offense 100% of the time in this league and not beat your head against the wall. So, you know, that's just – I think that's how we need to play, especially with a veteran quarterback who knows what he's doing.
John, could you take us kind of what you were thinking through the review of the 4th and 29 and just how that was handled with the long stoppage of play and everything else?
Well, I think it was handled correctly. You know, I know that everybody wants to keep the game moving and everything for entertainment purposes, but getting it right is probably the most important thing, and probably the true fans really appreciate that too. I know that, and this is just my speculation, you know, when you watch the replay, and I just watched the coaches copying over and over again, they got the spot right in the end. His knee went down at the 40, is it the 45 or 35? 35. And the ball was at least a yard. Carrying his body was at least a yard to the 44, which is a yard to gain. And then he was extending the ball. So I think they got the spot right when Gene brought it back. And then to me, the whole time was they had to go back and find out where the chains exactly were. You know, they had to go back and look at the play-by-play and look at. I assume they looked at the TV copies and stuff or whatever. And they wanted to get those chains back in the right spot before they measured, so they had it exactly right. And in the end, they got it exactly right. So. Once they put the spot down and got it right, we knew we had the first down because we knew the yard to gain was a 44. So that's kind of the way it went.
So was there a point in overtime where, because you don't get to the end very often or 3 or 4 minutes left, was there ever a point where you started to wonder or think about what a tie would mean? Not that you were playing for it, right, but did that ever go through your mind of what's a tie mean to us?
Well, I just knew a tie would be better than a loss, you know, without doing all the ramifications and all the different scenarios. Tie's better than a loss. A win's better than a tie.
Did so, what you did at the end of the game with the whole, you know, running the four plays.
Correct. Yeah. The whole idea was, you know, just worst case scenario. We had confidence that Tuck was going to make it, but, you know, you want to just position yourself as well as possible for whatever scenario might come up, and there's no point in leaving Phillip Rivers with more time than you would have to if he was going to go back down and have an opportunity to win the game there.
Coach, can you talk about the decision process having been our peers on the field for the third yardage situation and not having the right?
We're rotating both those guys, and I like Bernard Pierce. Bernard Pierce is a really good player, and, you know, we're not going to be shy away from Bernard Pierce carrying the ball. I'd like to see him carry the ball more and more. I think those two guys complement each other really well, and the better Bernard gets, the more he's going to play. Powerful, explosive, hard-running guy, so he's a good choice for that.
Given the demonstration on the Bernard Pollard hit,
what was the they showed that?
Yeah.
What was my take on it?
Yeah.
My take on it is I'll be looking forward to seeing what the league says on that. And I think Bernard took every precaution to make it legal. You know, it was a legal, solid hit in his eyes, and I would have to say in my eyes too, just from a coaching standpoint. So that's how I saw it.
Is there a sense of comfort in knowing that the Ravens have a 3-game lead in the division?
There is no comfort in football. It's not allowed, Edward. Comfort is not the word that comes to mind. Competitive, confront, not comfort, comes to mind. So, no, we have no comfort.
Knowing the scenarios, though, if you win on Sunday, you create a 4-game lead. Could that be a motivating factor as you head into this game against the Steelers on Sunday?
Well, the thing I think the guys have done is as a team, our guys have positioned themselves very well, to take advantage of an opportunity, and that's what you try to do. You know, every game you win, it makes the next game that much more important. So the importance of the games builds throughout the course of the season when you're winning. So this game is more important than last week. And, of course, it's obviously, you know, against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has their backs against the wall, but, you know, hey, man, this game's the same no matter what. Our concern is with us. It's how we play, and we're looking forward to it.
Brandon and Josh Bynes stepped up once the injury did happen to Denell out there.
Stepped up really well. You know, Josh played really solid, physical, downhill football like he always does. And Brendan Iambadejo really played well. He was all over the field. He made a huge stop on that run that they had there on second down. I think it was second and 4 or 5. Stopped it for no gain. Just really stepped up like you would expect a veteran leader to do. He played really well.
Back to the notion of there being something special about the team, is there something about the notion of just some teams knowing how to win, and what causes that? Is that experience of winning a lot? Is it leadership or what?
I think that notion comes out after they win, you know? So, like, you talk about how special a team is after they win the Super Bowl or whatever, that, you know, this team was a team of destiny, you know? It's hard to pick out the teams of destiny until destiny expresses itself. So, You know, I don't know about all that. You know, that's I think they're special just because of the way they interact with each other. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the way they handle adversity, the way they work with each other, the way they care about one another. You know, all those intangible things that it's really hard to quantify, and everybody just wants to kind of shrug their shoulders at and say, what is that? Well, if you've ever been on a team, you know, like most of us have at one point in time or another, you really have a feel for that, you know, and you kind of know what that means. And that's when you're inside of that, that's kind of what you try to express somehow, and it's hard to explain, but that's what I'm talking about.
Obviously, watching on TV, you get what they show you. But saw a lot of Paul Kruger early in the game. Is he becoming more and more of an impact player, or did we just see some isolated plays?
No, Paul's playing really well. You know, the last 2-3 weeks, he's really, really played well. He's been a huge impact in our sub packages. I think he's getting better every week rushing the passer. He's playing the run, especially in the sub packages, really well. And the fact that we've been able to, you know, we've had some other guys step up like Courtney Upshaw, Albert McClellan. We've even got some young guys that are kind of pushing their way up through in practice. That allows guys to kind of spread their reps out a little bit and maybe, you know, you kind of show up a little more in certain areas. You know, and that's probably what Paul's done with the pass rush stuff.
But they're very strong, obviously, very stout against the run. How happy were you to get that kind of production from the ground game?
Well, yeah, really pleased. But, you know, we think we could have done better, you know, even. There was a lot of runs in there that we were, you know, a broken tackle away from going really big. I thought their safeties did an excellent job of coming downhill and making tackles. You know, their safeties, I don't know how many tackles they made, but it seemed like they were making most every tackle. So we did a great job of blocking the front. It's hard to get to the safety. And, you know, I was pretty pleased with that. But you're right, give them credit. They're a very good run defense.
How would you review the offensive line as a whole? Obviously had some success in terms of the ground game, but also allowed the 5 sacks.
Yeah, you know, I think as a whole they played well. You look at the sacks and you're like, gosh, you know, that's never a good number. I mean, that's something that's going to be that we're going to look at first and say, well, we have to get better, and we definitely do. Yet, when you look at the big picture, there were plenty of times in critical situations where they came up big in protection and gave Joe a chance to make some plays. Overtime period, second half of the fourth quarter, really the whole – most of the second half, but the whole fourth quarter, they really protected really well. So there were some one-on-one things. You know, young guys learned some lessons, you know, by some veteran pass rushers, I think, that will make us better as we go forward.
You turn the page to the Steelers, and obviously it's the Steelers, but a chance to clinch the AFC North as well with the Bengals' loss. And then you have the conundrum of it's not Byron Leftwich anymore, and you don't know whether it's Charlie Batch or Ben at this point in time. How hard is that going to make your preparation?
Well, we'll definitely have to take it into account, you know, and we'll talk about it. But we've seen both of those guys, obviously, before. We've seen Charlie, and we played against him. And we know Ben. So I think what we'll do is – I know what we'll do is we'll defend their offense. And what you really have to focus on, I think, is defending the offense and the weapons they have in the offense. The running backs, Heath Miller, the wide receivers, name them, every one of them, is just a huge threat. And that big physical offensive line, tackle-to-tackle, run game. And then Mendenhall, he can tackle-to-tackle, but he can take it to the sideline at any time, too. So, you know, that's the focus more than the quarterback is defending their offense and playing against their team because they are a great team. That's what's made them so good all these years, and that's what made them so good this year. Just because they had a number of turnovers or they, you know, haven't played great the last 2 weeks doesn't change who they are as a football team. It's still the Pittsburgh Steelers coming in here, and they're a great football team.
The Ray Rice play was obviously the kind of game-changing moment of yesterday, the Ray Rice play. Can that be a turning point, you know, in a season when you look at it in a broader sense?
No, I don't know. That's what good stories are about. You know, that's what you guys can look at and kind of look at those points and write a great story. And I think it all has merit. But for us, it's not something I'm going to be thinking about right now. Just admire the play. It's the greatest play I've seen. You know, we'll see what it means if we can capitalize on it and stack some success on top of that, right?
Do you think a large portion of the defense's progress has been on run defense? It looks like you mentioned yesterday kind of getting in more third and long situations.
You mean for our defense?
Yeah.
Well, we did toward the end of the game, you know, and early in the game it was a little more third and medium. Toward the end of the game it was a little more third and long. Anytime you can get in third and long, you can kind of get after them a little more with the pass rush because they can't get the ball out usually quite as quickly. So we always try to do that, and that's all about what stopping the run's all about.
Speaking of like neat stories, Suggs came back earlier than anticipated, and now you're talking about Ray coming back way earlier than people anticipated. Are there some medical miracles going on inside the building, or what's going on? Or are there two special cases here? Because
Well, we'll see about Ray, first of all. So, you know, that has yet to play itself out. You know, I just have so much confidence in who Ray is as a person and a man, and the same thing for Terrell Suggs. The thing that, you know, most the guy like you, Jerry, would never really be able to understand is that these guys are physically genetic, you know, special DNA type guys, you know. And
you can relate to that.
And I can't relate to it either. They work, and they work harder than anybody in this room, physically, that's for sure. So, you know, give credit where credit's due, and then we'll just see how Ray does. But I know one thing, he's working harder than any of us can imagine, you know, to try to get back and get healthy.
John, how do you expect David Reed to fit into the mix?
You know, I think he'll be a big part of special teams probably to start off with. He's practiced really well on special teams the next couple of weeks and kind of working back into the offense and see where it goes, you know. So just provide us another good football player and see where we can fit him in.
And you also had the late practices, you did the sleep studies. You know, after you went out there, I guess, what do you think the end result was? Were you pleased with, you know, the tweaks you made to your schedule? And
yeah, I thought we were really, really, really wide awake at the end of the game, you know. it seemed like it was good. I mean, everybody, it seemed like on Saturday that we, or Sunday that we were pretty alert, you know, and in the morning and stuff like that. I thought our guys were ready to roll. Whether that was part of it, who knows, you know, but everybody seemed like they felt pretty good about the way it all went.
Is getting Torrey Smith the football, it looks like Joe's trying to go to him outside the hash marks. Low percentage is not as successful. But in the Cleveland game, Torrey made that big play and caught it short, made that touchdown run. And yesterday, he did a 54-yard gain. It was a short pass, break, tackle, that kind of thing. Is anything to it that maybe you guys are looking at getting the ball in a shorter situation and seeing if you can break a tackle, or is that just kind of how the game evolved?
Well, no, I mean, yeah, that probably is. There is something to that. You know, it's something that we want to do. You know, Torrey's can run. You know, he's elusive. He's more elusive than people think. And that play is a great example of it. You know, he caught a stop nine out there. He caught the stop route and broke outside against Cleveland. He caught the back shoulder fade, which was huge in this last game, which was kind of a down-the-field outside play. And then, as you said, he caught the underneath stuff and the crossing routes. So, you know, Torrey's getting to the point where he can pretty much run all those routes, you know, really effectively. So that's credit to him, and it's a big weapon for us.
By the way, Pernell McPhee, any update on what you expect for him playing this week?
Should be in practice this week, and, you know, we'll be hopeful that he can play. We'll have to see.
John, Arthur Jones has had two really strong games in a row. Do you think with him it's been an opportunity to have more playing time than he's had in the past, and what have you seen in his development?
Well, I've just seen the last 3-4 weeks, he has taken a huge leap technique-wise. He's playing, his feet and his hands are tied together way better now than they were, you know, and that's a credit to Clarence Brooks and to Arthur, and just deciding that he wanted to play, you know, play with technique, with great technique. He's got long arms. He's powerful lower body. You've seen the way he's built. You know, he's got that great lower body. So just it's really heartening for a coach to see a guy playing that well and to make the strides he's made, and it's huge for our defense.
Struggles that people seem to indicate that you guys have on the road. You keep winning. I mean, you've already equaled your winning total on the road from last year at 4, and you've still got more chances to win on the road. Do you kind of debunk that idea that you're not a good road team?
Well, we got the third best road record in National Football League, you know, so that's pretty good. But then again, you know, I think our guys take the right approach. It's not, we're certainly not patting ourselves on the back. You know, we'd rather take the hard look. You know, we'd rather say there are so many things that we can do better, and we can be a lot better than we are. You know, and that's when the fans look at that. I'm not, you know, maybe I've grown past getting defensive about that kind of stuff. You know, maybe we all grow up. You know, and I feel like that's fair. You know, in the sense that we look at that too. You know, we want to come out of the gates faster, or we want to finish stronger, or we want to get more first downs, or we want to be in more third and shorts, or we want to stop the run better, we want to cover kicks better, whatever. You know, that's what we need to be looking at. You know, ways we can improve, and if we can do that, and you have the type of team that has the type of character and, you know, metal to find ways to win through all that, then you probably have a chance to be a pretty good team.
And the offense obviously criticized for its struggles on the road throughout the early part of the year. Struggled early on yesterday and then had success, including the passing game throughout the course of the second half. What changed in the second half from an offensive standpoint, especially with the passing game?
What changed? We did.
I guess I could word that better just in terms of the passing game as a whole. What did you see from them throughout the course of the second half that maybe they weren't having success with during the first half?
Well, I just think we completed more passes. And I know that's obviously an obvious statement. But we were forced to open it up a little bit. You know, we spread it out because we were down 10 in the fourth quarter, and we had no choice. And we probably changed gears. And we got a little more of a no-huddle, you know, up-tempo type of a deal. We were in three wides. We spread people out. Joe was in the gun. We were able to mix in some runs when they were in six box. We were running the ball. We were in more conventional type sets early in the game. We were playing that kind of a game a little bit more, like we played. And I think the thing that the takeaway for me is the fact that we have grown into the ability to play really any type of game on offense that we need to play. And if we can shift gears and get in and out of that kind of stuff, if we can jump into a no-huddle spread type offense and run it, and then jump back into a power running game and run it that way too, run the offense, I mean, you know, whether you're running or throwing, you know, play action, all that kind of stuff. That's just gives us more weapons, you know, more tools. And the good thing is we had enough tools to find a way to win that game yesterday, and that's what I'm most proud of. That's what I give Cam credit for, give the offensive coaches credit for, and the players, the fact that they're able to shift gears in a heartbeat and run a different offense really effectively and execute, and all of a sudden, as you said, something changed, and we started moving the ball, and that's basically what it was.
John, is there, in the two-minute drill at the end, is there a fatigue factor that plays into it from a defensive standpoint? Because a lot of times, I've seen this with your team and other teams, where early in the season you have a couple of good drives late, and you also spread out early, try to do the same thing, and it doesn't necessarily have the same result.
You know, you're right, and that's because the next follow-up question, obviously, is, well, why aren't you in the offense the whole game? Well, we've done that too, you know, and we'll probably – and there's a good chance in the future that we'll do that again. We'll come out in that type of an offense, and we'll be playing that way probably. But the whole key to that is just what you're talking about. There's a certain momentum that goes with that offense. And if you can generate a rhythm, have some success, start generating first downs, and keep the defense on the field and force them to play on their heels a little bit, that's the beauty of that offense. And the fact that we have that ability to run that offense this year more than past years is going to be a big thing for us down the stretch.
All right.
Okay.